welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
If you are at church today, man, you are not only ending the year at church, but you're ending a decade. Isn't that crazy? I last minute sent a picture up to Brian to get it on. Did we get it on Planning Center? Cool. Before you put it, don't put it yet. I thought Aaron doesn't know I just did this. One of the things that is great about Facebook is it gives you your memories. And I thought it'd be funny if you want to see a picture of us 10 years ago. You know, a little funny. So put it up there. Aww. I was not yet a man. That was in 2009 at Christmas, obviously. And so that was 10 years ago. And so what we did is you all walked in, we each hacked into all your Facebook accounts, and we're going to put a picture of all of you up every 10 years. Okay, so Julie's next. I'm just kidding. But when you look back in the past 10 years, come on now. That's weird, right? Like, it takes back about 15 years ago, there was no such thing as social media. Like, we 10 years ago, just think about where you were 10 years ago. See, I'm 35, I was 25 years old there. Just think about all that's happened in these past 10 years. Would you? Can any of you say, yeah, I planned these past 10 years? Like, that's exactly how I planned? Jesse? We don't really know. And so here we are on the cusp of 2020, the Jetson year, right? Is this the year of the Jetsons? We're supposed to have flying cars and we don't have, what's the robot's name? Rosie?
Rosie
and Jetsons. We don't have that. We have Alexa, which is terrible. You know, Alexa, government, same thing. But, you know, we're almost there. We're there. But man, I'm excited. If you sat down, you didn't have a seat saved for you, but you did have the little pamphlet for all your prayer and fasting. So if that is there on the chair for you, so make sure you grab that. We'll be sending out the YouTube videos for all that good stuff. But as funny as we could spend time looking back and all those different things, but I'm sure you've done that. Either you say you look back and go, man, I'm really glad I did that, or you look back and go, man, I really wish that didn't happen. Anyone have, I'm really glad that happened in past 10 years? Okay, a few of you, okay. How about, any of you have one of those, like, I really wish I didn't have to walk through that? Yeah. It's interesting how we respond to different things. How much do you feel like the things that negatively happen to you, that defined you more than the positive things? Yeah, okay, that got real quick. So when we look to our future, it really is a big unknown. You don't know what, when we sit here in 2030, what are these next 10 years going to hold for you? Some of you got really depressed. Some of you felt like, wait, I have to be here for another 10 years? But what is it going to look like? Today's message is kind of a one message thing. It's not part of a series, but you have to. Every sermon this year has been into something, and so today we're going into the unknown. And if you've seen Frozen 2, that song will be in your head the entire time. I get it, and now I will sing it for you. No, nobody wants that. There's a reason why you never see me on the worship team.
True.
And that's why I sit in the front row, not because I'm the pastor, because I don't want anyone else to hear me sing. We have two contingencies. Make sure my mic is off, and make the sound guy make sure that I'm on mute, just in case. As we talk about the unknown, I have this in my note. I want to make sure I do this. I want to celebrate real quick, because we have team day and stuff coming up, and we'll talk vision, 2 weeks, and we'll celebrate a lot. But I just want to really celebrate all the incredible people in here that serve, who are here the day after, the weekend after Christmas, that are here Christmas Eve, that were here Easter, they're working so incredibly hard. Over in Kids Life right now, they're having a party over there, but you don't even know how hard they work for their to serve our kids. And can we just take a moment, can we just thank all of our people who lead and volunteer? It's seriously a... The best part of pastoring this church is serving with you guys. It really is. And you ladies. And it's just, yeah. Sorry, I'm being a little retrospective, and I'll get to the message, I promise. So a lot of times when we talk about Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? And if you had kids, you know someone who has kids, everyone's really excited for the baby shower, right? Everyone's really excited when the baby's born. They rush to the hospital, and they celebrate. They see you. They bring little gifts. And, you know, it's really cool, really exciting. And then they let you take it home. And all those people that were at your baby shower, that were there to celebrate the birth of this child, is no longer there. And they put, the doctors and the nurses put this newborn child into your hands and say, drive it home. Anybody else, that was the scariest drive of your life. If you were the baby, you can't raise your hand, you don't remember it. It's terrifying. It's like, and Jude was a little preemie, so it was like baby seat and then like Jude. And so it's scary. And I remember coming home, and I think it was with Ella. We brought, Aaron had C-sections with both of them. And so, you know, so I'm taking care of two. And then when we brought Ella home, Jude was sitting at this little high chair thing. And as we bring Ella in, Jude decides to kick the table and fall backwards in his high chair. And the only thing I could think of not is, oh, Jude, are you okay? You're 1.5 years old. It was, your sister is here. Does it have to be about you? Then Aaron's over there going, ah, because she tried to reach for Jude after a C-section. And I'm going, really, you two?
Love you.
Yeah, it was a very loving moment. But really, you're at this part where you don't know what's going on. You don't know what to do. All the parenting books you read mean nothing. It's what do I do? And what's funny is we treat the birth of Jesus the same way. We go, yay, Jesus is born. Christmas Eve service. We held our candlelights. You guys like the fake snow candlelight service? That was so cool. You want to hear something funny? I'm going to tell you anyway. So the machine that sends out the snow, you know, it vibrates a little, and it had a stack of books that was on shooting out a window, and it fell, and so the whole conference room filled with snow. It was a Christmas miracle. It was funny. But we talk about Mary and Joseph and the wise men, all these different things, the shepherds, and baby Jesus is in the manger, and we love baby Jesus. But then we forget they had to take him home with the pressure of Mary knowing, I now have to raise the Son of God. Half the time with our kids, we're like, I just hope that they know how to eat cereal properly. So now this pressure, they're taking this little baby home, they have to figure out life. And they really walk into a season completely unknown because they asked around. They said, hey, did anyone else raise a Son of God? There is no Facebook support group for this. And they had to walk into this whole season alone and unknown. And so I want to pick up with that story in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 23. And I have a couple points of application. And I've got a gift for everyone today. So you get a gift today. Matthew chapter 2, it says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord, so baby Jesus is born, the wise men already came, Dom taught us last week, did a phenomenal job teaching us the difference between Jesus' king and Herod's king, and so this is, the wise men have gone, they avoided Herod, they're not telling Herod, Herod's mad now because he knows that there's some king that is in his community that he needs to get rid of now. And so as Mary and Joseph are getting ready to leave Bethlehem, Jesus is at a point where they can travel with him again, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to the perfect nursery you made for him at home. No. Flee to Egypt. "Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose, he took the child and his mother by night, departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. There was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So they get up out of Bethlehem, and they have to head west. They have to migrate into Egypt and find refuge. Now, they're in a place they've never been to. The only things they know about Egypt is what they grew up with, knowing that we just got out of this place. Now, God, you're telling us to go back because someone's out to kill my child. Just in these moments in Scripture, we can easily just read through it. Oh, okay. No, no. Think of yourself as a mother, as a father. Even if you don't have kids yet, to think of that desperation. What if you were torn from your family to go somewhere else out of looking for asylum? And this is, it's not easy. And this is the Son of God. Aren't you supposed to follow God? Everything works in your favor, right? Have you ever noticed God a little harder? Because God is doing something so significant that people are not going to like it. And so they flee to Egypt. And then Herod dies, and that's exciting. Spoiler alert. Let me go back to verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed them, all the male children in Bethlehem and all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more." Can you imagine now every child under 2 years old was murdered? Not to hit on hot topics, but when we talk about Into the Taboo, when we talk about abortion, when we talk about immigration, when we talk about refugees, why these are so close to God's heart. And why he cares so much about it. Verse 19, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' He rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel." Okay, so they're going back to Israel. "But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there." Do you notice that they were originally in Galilee, in Nazareth? They traveled to Judea, to Bethlehem, because that's where Joseph is originally from, and Bethlehem is the city of the Son of David, is close to Jerusalem. So if you're going to raise a Son of God anywhere, you want to be close to where? Jerusalem. Perhaps Bethlehem, the city of David, his grandfather, because he's going to be he's the Son of God. This is where we go. So Joseph automatically goes there. And then he notices that the son of Herod is there, and so he was afraid to go there. "And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called the Nazarene." Now, down in Judea, down in Bethlehem, down in Jerusalem, man, that's a big city. All right? If you grew up in Los Angeles area, Cerritos, Artesia, you don't know the difference between big city and small city. You don't know rural unless you've driven through Central California or you've driven in other places or traveled other places. This is going from the big city down in Judea, to going, no, you need to raise them in rural, the rural country, the backwaters. That's Nazareth. They're a little different up there. Yeah, they eat gator. They've got crawdads. They've got it all, all that fun stuff. And so they have to go up there. But one thing just to learn from the story before we get into a couple application points is that, did you notice that Joseph, that he hears God through dreams? We read about three dreams that he had from God. Can I ask you a question? How do you hear from God? Do you know that you can hear, God can speak to you through dreams, God can speak to you through pictures, God can speak to you through an audible voice, God can speak to you through other people. God speaks. Can you imagine the story? Joseph had a dream and said, oh, it was just a dream, forget about it. Let me divorce this woman who's pregnant. Wow. How about, oh, it's just a dream. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to Egypt, God. I don't know Egypt. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to just stay where I'm at. Yeah. How does God speak to you? Maybe that's an encouragement as we go through this prayer and fasting. Could you take a moment and document and research and seek and be open to how does God speak to you? Because when you learn how God speaks to you, because God's relatively consistent, he knows you. He created you. He knows if you're a visual or audio or whatever way that you learn. God knows you. Imagine if you paid attention and then you obeyed. Because God wants to speak to you. We saw that Joseph was going back to Judea to get closer to Jerusalem after it's in order to raise God by the temple. Do you know that God sometimes wants to do a new thing in a new way? That he doesn't always have to do it the old way? Write this down. This is kind of the big point of today. What is unknown to you is known by God. What is unknown to you is known by God. I love the progression of Joseph's dreams. At first, the dream of Joseph God that his that Mary was going to have the Son of God and it was of God, and that Mary was faithful after all. He questioned it. The second dream, he heard it and he obeyed. The third dream, he already knew he had to go before he had the dream. He already had now what's called wisdom. And that's what happens is you begin to hear the voice of God, you're beginning to gain the wisdom of God. So before God has to speak it, you've already been thinking it. It's the same thing in any relationship where you can start finishing in-person sentences. Okay? I found out that that's cute when you're dating and rude when you're married. That's called interrupting now. So anyway, usually because I'm wrong. She's like, no, I'm not going to say that. That's not what I was going to say. But number one, write this down. God knows his purpose while you are in the process. God knows his purpose while you are in the process. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Your process that you're in, we recognize there's a lot of hurt. Sometimes there's a lot of pain. There's frustrations. There's unmet expectations. There's disappointment. But even in the midst of that, you know, God does not waste a thing. He doesn't. God doesn't waste your process. Everything you have walked through, whether it was your choice or divine providence, God uses everything to keep you in a process to get you to your purpose. But it's really going to be determined on whether or not you're going to receive that or you're going to fight against it. You're going to say, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. How could you? And meanwhile, God's going, I know you don't like it, but what are you going to make out of it? Because if you look back at every prominent leader in our nation, every prominent leader in our world, even prominent leaders in your life, you learn more because of their failures or because of their hardships and their successes. You know, I'm hearing stories right now as we've done Advent. People have shared their heart and said, hey, we struggled with this. And they have now more relationships in this church than they ever had. Simply because they said, hey, I'm weak in this area. See, we like to say me too to the, hey, I'm weak in that way too. Can we help each other? Oh, yeah, we can do that. A lot of times we hear someone's success, we're like, yeah, but did they, yeah. Right? We get offended, so I try to find a weakness in it because we're intimidated by a strength that they have. Another conversation, another sermon. But every step on the way, every step on the adventure, he is building you, he is remodeling you, he is renovating you in order to reflect him in your life story and your ability to love people. Every step of the adventure is purposeful and not wasted. Number two, you don't need new circumstances for a new start. I want you to hear that. You don't need new circumstances for a new start. A lot of times go, if my paycheck was bigger, if I had a different spouse, if my kids acted this way, if I had a different job, if I had a different car, if Bernie Sanders paid off my debt, if I did this, if I did that, if someone did this for me, then everything would be different. Everything would be better now. That's not how it starts. Aaron and I learned this. We say, Lord, would you give us abundance in our finances? Lord, would you bless us abundance? Then God would bless us with abundance and we would squander it. Why? Because we didn't need abundance. We needed discipline. See the difference? The abundance is the circumstance. The discipline is the new thing that God wanted to start in us. Is there something that is in your life that you say that, oh, this is going to fix it? It's not. Getting perfectly fit is not going to fix your marriage or going to fix your health completely. The circumstances don't need to change. What happens, we think if circumstances change, that's going to change who we are. But actually, it's the opposite way. We have to change who we are for our circumstances to change. So much of it is our mindset. So much of it is our disciplines. And if we're really honest with ourselves, I'm not going to say names, but I'm going to use an example that just happened, but they're on my staff, so it's okay. They were back here in the prayer chapel, and they were having a conversation. We are always outside greeting. So I said, hey, guys, come out and let's go greet. And they started laughing because they said, we were just talking about how we don't know a lot of people. Well, yeah, you're in the back room behind a closed door. Of course you don't know a lot of people. Get out there. Oh, but I don't want to. No, none of our staff said that. It's the last Sunday of the year. But they're like, no, it's just, I'm tired. Okay. But here's the solution. Start a new discipline to get new results. Okay? And that's why it's so important. Check this out in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 25. Since the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good, and to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him. God is always present. Circumstances always change, and your character will determine what you're anchored to. One of my favorite movies, whether it's Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, or Tom Holland, are the Spider-Man movies. I don't know what it is, but I love them. And what's fun about watching the Spider movies, he's a web slinger. You know what that means? Like, he shoots webs from his hands. It grabs a hold of something he can swing across. And each movie tries to explain why this 16-year-old kid doesn't end up on the side of a wall, destroyed because of physics. But what I love it is if you fix yourself to a fixed point and you swing, guess what? You get to swing back, and it's actually a pendulum, and it's consistent. But what's fun is when you watch Spider-Man attach himself to a helicopter. Or was it in Civil War, to War Machine? And he just goes flying. And what's funny is you watch Spider-Man on a helicopter, he's constantly swinging and like almost hitting the blades. And the helicopter's trying to get him off, so they're going crazy. So what Spider-Man used to be able to just go hit and swing, now he doesn't know what's up, down, left, or right. And that's really the difference between our circumstances and the firm foundation of who God is. Right. Because if most of us, we are attaching our web, I know it's dorky and it's nerdy, deal with it. But when we attach our expectations and our life to our circumstances, we are like Spider-Man attaching to a helicopter. You're going to get flown all over the place and wonder what happened. But when you fix your web on a building, that's not going to move. There's consistency, there's security, and there's hope because you know where you're going. See, the Lord, his faithfulness is forever. His faithfulness is sure. It never ceases. Are you putting all your new starts in your life? You're looking at 2020. It's going to be a new year or new me, whatever you want to put it. If you're going to put it on a diet, if you're going to put it on a budget, if you're going to do those things alone, you're going to be all over the place because circumstances change. But if you put it upon the Lord and say, hey, I'm doing this because I want to be healthy because the Lord has called me to be healthy, or I'm doing this because I want to be faithful to with my finances or faithful with my spouse, and it's to the Lord, he doesn't change. But he takes us into the new direction that he's called us to go into. So we need to stop praying for new circumstances. Can we begin to pray for a new start in him? And it changes the way we see things. I love the three character questions that Kids Life has taught us in this room when facing conflict. And it's this: is it loving? Am I trusting God, and is it wise? Can you imagine if that became your anchor in the way that you conducted and you expressed conflict and you even came to a temptation? Because I can guarantee you one thing this year: you will be tempted. The consequences will not be, in the moment of temptation, consequences look like they're doable. But the moment you participate in this temptation, those consequences instantly grow exponentially, and there's no going back. So as we, our anchor to who God is can really be summed up to these three questions. Is what I'm about to do loving? Is what I'm about to do, am I trusting God in this? And is this wise? Next year, you're going to hear a little bit more about shepherds and how you can be discipled through that. But we're reminded of the steps. Is a good decision is only one step away from a poor decision. God doesn't call us to make good decisions. He makes us call not even better decisions. He wants us to make best decisions. And that changes the way that we operate. But I want to give you all a gift. Can I do that? I know some of you who are here at the church before that are cool mugs. You're always asking, can I have a mug? No. But I have a gift. And Jessica and Aubrey are going to help me out here. I don't want you to open this yet. Don't open till after Christmas. This is my gift to you. It's not really from me. But it's a reminder that God's mercies are new every single morning. It's a reminder that he is in the process. So what I've given you today is a blank piece of paper. But this is a little different about it. We recognize with God we have a blank slate every day. He can do a new thing every single day. When we look at 2020, God can do a new thing every single day. But this is a when you sit on your microphone cable. This is the difference between when you're walking with Jesus and when you're not. See, your blank piece of paper, it isn't just blank. It comes with a promise. So I want you to open up that paper. Now on this paper, if you hold up to the light, it's not going to help you. The only way it's going to help you is if you get your face over and cast a shadow on it, and you can start to seek the promise. Because this is the thing. With God, you have to seek the promise. Because he's more interested in the relationship with you than your religion. He wants to know that you will seek after him on this blank piece of paper. And to seek after his promise. Everyone see it?
Yeah.
Okay. I know some of you got to get your glasses on. That's okay. You probably have to wear your glasses and read the Bible too. But this is our promise. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. Can we receive this as a promise of God? Can we receive that no matter what blank slate he may give you every single morning, because his mercies are new every morning, that we are ready and God is willing to do a new thing in you? And all it takes is for you and I to come to it and say, Lord, I want you to fill this blank slate. Would you lead me? Would you cover me? Would you direct me? And would you fill me with your spirit to do that? I want to invite everyone to stand together, and as the worship team comes up, now as we worship together, we'll have the prayer buckets up here and everything. But I want us to take the time to end this year in a way that positions our hearts to receive from the Lord. 2019 truly has been an adventure. I cannot wait to share the word of the year with you in 2 weeks. But can we take this moment to stop, to reflect, and maybe even begin to write things on your piece of paper in light of the context of God's promise. So let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.